Welcome to the Marian Message, presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. Each week, we'll hear God's Word explored by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. as he preaches from the pulpit of Marian Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. We pray that this message will be a blessing and further your walk with God. Let's join him now.
Hey, turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, I'm finishing up today this series called Life in 7K. And we started back in Genesis chapter 1, and basically I've gone through the Bible, if you will, sort of in five sermons. I know that's sort of a big deal, but I've sort of hit on all the major points, I believe, in history, which was creation, the creation of the Jewish race, the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the birth of said Messiah, and then today when we go out in eternity. You know, there's coming a day when that'll happen. Sometimes I don't know that we believe all that, but there is coming a day when there will be no more. Not no more of the good stuff, but no more of those things that on this side of eternity, as I prayed as we started this service, we don't know what 2024 holds, do we? There could be tragedies. There could be some triumphs. We have no idea, but the one thing that we can hold on to is that Jesus is always going to be king. Amen? That's what you get. That, when he is your center and your firm foundation, oh, the winds will come and the storms will beat and it'll be rough. He'll walk you through. And that's what we have to hold on. And then once he walks you through and we do come and we take our last breath and we get on out in eternity, let's talk about what that day of no more will be. Stand at the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 21. By the way, you know, it's just one of those things that sticks in my craw a little bit. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was just one, okay? Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Love this. "Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away." Can I be funny for a minute? All you Eeyore Christians are going to have to get a grip. You know, they can suck the life out of anything good and want to have their mouth turned. It'll be a day of no more. "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me," and I love this, I think it harkens right back to the cross, "'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Let's pray. Father, what a day that will be. What a restoration that will be. Just what a place. Father, my desire is that everyone who hears this today and everyone who will hear it in the coming weeks, And everyone who is associated with anybody of this place will hear this true little simple gospel message that can take them to the day of no more. And so, God, we love you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As I prepared this and I got this ready, starting next year, we're going to have a theme word for the entire year. And I'm going to lay out in the first 7 weeks, we're going to talk a whole lot about what this church really believes and stands for. But the word is intentional. I want all of us to be intentional. Every member of Marion Baptist Church, I'm really going to be challenging you over the coming weeks to be intentional about your belief. I really think that there are times when we as believers are universalist. And I believe that's what society want us to think, that it really doesn't matter what we believe or what happens, because in the end, everybody is going to heaven. Friends, I just read you some truth that says otherwise. There will be some that will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Now, I don't understand how we as a body of believers that claims to know Jesus refuses to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost. There are people that I don't want to go to heaven without. Hello? Let's just be honest. Is there somebody that you know that they don't know Jesus at this moment and yet they're not saved and you just are flat would say this, I don't want to go if you're not there, but I mean, I'm going to go, but I want you there. And so we have to be intentional in our walk and intentional in our talk and intentional in our way with them so that when this day of no more comes, we're walking right with them. You guys ever just thought about that day? By the way, notice what I named this, the day of no more. Well, preacher, we're going to be there for thousands of years. Why do you say the day? Because there's no night. And if there's no night, there's just a day. Can you imagine spouse, best friend, child, parent, when you get to this day of no more in heaven, you get to have that for eternity. I mean, think about it. Some of you guys get to hang out with me for all eternity. I don't know what will be better. I mean, I love me some me. We got some visitors here today. They're probably going, who is this crack job, man? I'm just goofing. I promise. But I want you to think about that. And I want you to ask yourself this question as we head into the new year. And I'm telling you, you guys thought I was hard on evangelism and that in the past months and past years. You wait till this year. I've been told I challenge us too much. In the words, I think of Barney Fife, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to challenge you to go to that person and share the gospel. And matter of fact, next week, I'm preaching on this truth. Why do I need to come to church in 2024? Some of you are just like, oh, here we go. I believe I've got some reasons why you ought to make church a priority and be intentional about your coming to church. And I'm going to give you 4 or 5 reasons, biblical, not Hank's. Because see, there's that lie out there that the enemy gives us that, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved and go to heaven. You're right. You don't. But I believe you should. I'm going to say it again. I look forward to Sunday mornings. I do. I love you guys. Not all of you love me, but that's okay. I'm praying for you. But I love you. I'm looking at everybody in here, and I don't see not one person that I can't stand in here. Some of you is questionable. Kidding. I promise you, I'm kidding. I promise you. I love everybody in here. And every Sunday morning, my thought is, man, I hope they're at church. I hope they're at church, man. Not because we can have great numbers, but because we can gather together as a family. We can encourage one another. I love out there. I love out there when I see you guys hanging out and just chilling out and laughing and talking. I love to see you guys out there when you're talking and loving on each other. But let's be intentional about getting to the day of no more. Let me tell you about that day of no more, and I'm going to do it fairly quickly. I promise. I'm going to try. I'm going to give you three words about this day of no more, and then I'm not really going to say anything else about no more until I get to the very end. This day of no more will be a day about restoration. It'll be a day of restoration. When things are restored back to how God had desired for them to be before the fall took place, before man chose in his free will and his own way, he chose to turn his back on God and follow the words and leading of Satan and choose to eat of the forbidden fruit, whatever that was. And I want to walk you, now I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 1, if you will, back to the very first sermon I preached, the first, and talk about those things that we saw. Here's what we saw. If we go back, so go ahead and flip to your Bible. Remember, this is, I saw a new heaven, new earth. All have passed away. Back in Genesis chapter 1, there's a phrase here that is used, and you're going to hear me say this so often in this. In verse 3, we see of Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light, here it is, was good. If we go all the way through Genesis chapter 1, we hear, and it was good. That is, until we get to the creation of man, and once man has come and all has been accomplished that he wanted to do in that first 7 days, 6 days, and then he rested the seventh. By the way, yes, I believe in a literal six-day creation. He says it was very good. Can you not picture how beautiful Eden was? I wrote it down, I said, Eden was a place of perfection. There was no sin in Eden when it was created. That came just a bit later when the serpent came in and Eve chose to eat of that fruit and give it to Adam, and he willingly took it. But Eve was this place of perfection. There was no, can you imagine? There was no sin. There was no fleshly desires, really, of anything that was ungodly. Can you imagine it? Because let's be honest, we all have ungodly fleshly desires every day. But it wasn't there in Eden. So it was a place of perfection, but it was also a place of relationship. So much so that God had, when he created man and he brought all these animals to him to name, there was a male and a female, and then it seems as if Adam maybe looked around and says, well, who do I have? And so he creates woman, and that's why biblically the truth is this, marriage is to be between a man and a woman, period. Even Jesus affirms that in the New Testament. So he brings the man and the woman, why? For relationship. But not only between them two, then what happened every day, the Bible says in the cool of the evening in chapter 3, when God was coming, what would happen? He came and had relationship with them himself. He walked with them and he talked with them. Miss Pat, can I make a confession to you? That song, that hymn, this is full-blown confession. In the garden, I've never really liked it. I know it is, and honey, I've struggled with that. And I was like, I just don't like it. And then literally the other day, I was looking at some hymns and I read that and I read those words. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And you know what I said? Not that it's my favorite. But I really like it now. All because of the phraseology of that hymn writer when he said, and he, because isn't that what God wants with us? To walk with us and talk with us. And you're going, wait a minute, God's in heaven, you're here. I'm telling you, he can do it. And by the way, he does do it. And just if you want to know, I've already walked and talked with him this morning. Hello? I've already walked with him and talked with him. And I'm going to do it again tomorrow morning. Matter of fact, I'll probably do it again some point this afternoon. I'll walk and I'll talk. God said it is good, but then comes man. So this place that was beautiful now becomes broken. This thing, and by the way, and don't worry, I'm going to come back to me and you. This place that God had created that's named Eden, that is perfection and is beautiful and is a place of relationship and a place of meeting, becomes a broken place. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Verse 18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." I wish I had time to unpack that. I really wish I did. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility." Listen to this. "Not willingly." Creation had nothing to do with the sin. And yet it suffers. You want to know, by the way, this is, I hope some people are listening. You want to know why there are hurricanes and tornadoes and this and that and this type and that thing. You want, and earthquakes. You want to know why? It's not because of climate change. It's because the earth is groaning. Well, you cannot agree. That don't make it not true. I'm going to read another part in Matthew 24 where it says that specifically. Matter of fact, let's just go to Matthew 24. Well, let me finish reading here. "But because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Now go to Matthew 24. It confirms it also. Scripture always interprets Scripture, period. Everything is groaning. I'm just going to start here in verse. "And Jesus answered, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they'll lead many astray. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not alarmed, but this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the earth pains." I told you about, I had this one person from this false religion that came and knocked on my door one time and went through this litany of things about, hey, this is happening and this is happening in society and this is happening and this is happening in society and yada, 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 and went on and went on. And literally, I have Lisa's witness to this conversation. And I just stood there and I let her speak. See, I'm not going to be rude to anybody. Okay, and I went on and finally get to the end, and this little lady, she said, "Now aren't you, didn't that scare you?" And I said, "No, ma'am, it doesn't. It's a true story." And she looked at me with this confused look. She said, "But I just told you that there's economic problems and there's this and there's this and there's this. What, that doesn't just scare you?" I said, "No, ma'am, it doesn't." And she said, "Why not?" I'm glad you asked. I said, "Because you see, man, when I was but 6 years old, I put my faith in Jesus Christ." I said, "And as a result of putting my faith in Jesus Christ, he holds my life in his hand. So really, my life is all about whatever he wants of me. But here's what I want to tell you. No matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. So no, ma'am, all of that stuff doesn't really scare me, because I believe before the world really goes to whatever it's going to go to, which is going to Jesus ultimately, here's what I believe. I believe that one day the sky is going to split and he's going to call his children home in the rapture of the church. And I won't be here for none of that mess you just described. So ma'am, no, I am not scared." She didn't want to stand and have no more conversation with me. Matter of fact, she wheeled and walked off and threw gravel. End of that story. 2 weeks later, we were living in the parsonage. She showed up at the parsonage. I was bebopping right, and I came back. She was at the front door. She saw me. She said, "Oh, good grief." Hand on my Bible, that's a true story. I'm not scared of climate change. I'm not scared of anything this world's going to throw at me. Not because I'm super courageous, but I just have faith in Jesus. But notice what's going to happen, what we see here. Back in Revelation 20, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." That word new there, it means new in kind. This is good stuff. There'll be no taint of sin. There'll be no presence of the enemy. There will be nothing but that restored place of perfection. There'll be nothing but that restored place of relationship. Notice what it says, because when it says there, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down, prepared, I'm going to deal with this in just a little bit, as a bride adorned for a husband, and behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. What a day. Amen. So that which was broken creation, it was beautiful, it was broken, it'll be beautiful again. You know who else that works for also? I just gave the same 3 points. I'm going to do them again. You ready? Guess who was made beautiful as well? You and I. Who cares about your features? You have nothing to do with your features. And by the way, we all get older and we all lose a little bit of this. But I'm not talking about beautiful inside. Listen to this. Let me tell you why. Back to Genesis 1. Look down at verse 26. Then God said, let us, by the way, plural, make man in our, plural, image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over the crop, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. That's why we are so beautiful and special, because we were created in the image of Almighty God. We have this thing called a capacity to reason. We have this thing called a soul. I'm just going to say it again. I'm sorry. All dogs going to go to heaven. But preacher, what about my precious little Skippy? Isn't he going to go? I don't read nowhere in Scripture says he's going to go to heaven. But here's what I do read. You are either going to heaven or hell. Now that can unnerve you that I done said something about Skippy. But you better start worried about you. And not so much about your dog or your cat. And those of you that own snakes, you got a problem. That's the thing that caused all this mess. I don't send me no emails. I got a snake. It's the most sweetest thing. Yeah, okay. It's sweet, all right. Don't feed it. Let it get to you, buddy. Anyway. We are made in his image, and that's why we're special. All of humanity is special. I was laughing. We had a conversation with someone. I'm not calling it, but they'll know. It talked about who can come to church and who can't come to church. Internet, zoom in. Back up. Here's who can come to this church. Anybody. Anybody. And I pray in 2024, I hope they do. I hope they come by the droves. I'm talking about drug dealers. I'm talking about alcoholics. I'm talking about depressed people. I'm talking about lawyers. I'm talking about bankers. I'm talking about plumbers. I'm talking about if you are living and breathing, you come. And I promise you this, we're going to meet you at the front door with a cup of coffee and a honey bun. And here's what you're going to find. I'm looking right at you guys that are out there. Here's what you're going to find. So glad you came. So glad you came. You want to sit with me. You can think, man, church just don't want these people in there. I know a church that does. Yeah. Amen. This one. Preacher, what you going to do next week if it's packed so packed in here, nobody can find a seat? This preacher going to run up down the aisles. Try me. I'm going to shout glory. We got to be intentional. We want to just go after people that look like us. Friends, we're all beautiful. You cut our skin and don't nothing but red blood come out. Every person ever born has a soul that Jesus Christ died for, not just some elect. Can I get a witness, Danny? We were made beautiful, but then we broke it. We chose and went the other way. Look over real quick in 2 Corinthians. Most of the time we go to 2 Corinthians, we go to chapter 5 and we go to 17 and below. But I want you to go to the first few verses of chapter 5. Excuse me. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I love that word. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, but for we, while we are still in this tent, we groan being burdened. Man, there are people in our midst right now that are dealing with cancer. People in our midst right now that are dealing with strokes. People in our midst right now that are dealing with people that have died. People in our midst that are dealing with arthritis that just kills you. People in our midst that are dealing with depression. People in our midst that are dealing with alcoholism. People in our midst that are dealing with drug problems. People in our midst that are dealing... I have no clue what all we're dealing with in here. But I know it's a burden. I don't believe nobody wants to be a drug addict. I just don't believe when you're born, somebody says, I want to grow up to be an alcoholic. Just destroy my liver. Nobody wants to be addicted to pornography. They are burdens from the enemy. In the day of no more, there'll be none of that. There'll be no more on the earth. See, we know there's going to be no more in heaven when we die. Well, listen, when you die, you don't deal with that. We can talk about whether there's some tears in heaven or not. We can talk about that. And do people that are there, can they look down and see, yeah, maybe so. But here's what. Okay, we got it. I didn't know the queen was with us today. I'm sorry. That just sort of took me by surprise over there. Okay. That's not making up either. I mean, look at Chloe. She's got a hat on, a little thing. Man, I chase rabbits on my own, Chloe. I don't need help over there. I mean, seriously. She's got a little crown over. She just sat back there so nicely. Oh, look at there. Way to go, Reed. This is why I love us. We could just have this conversation about the queen over there. But all of that is a burden from the enemy. When we get there in one day, hear me, on the earth, there will be no more. What a day that will be. But then we get beautiful again. It's that day that we talk about right here. Because listen, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes and death will be no more. No more mourning, no more crying, no more anything. Behold, I'm making all things new. What a day that will be. He said, it is done. I'm the Alpha Omega, beginning and the end. The thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. We're going to be his son face to face. At this point, all is over. The wrath is done. Christ has conquered and vanquished all. The old has now passed away. All is now beautiful. But that's restoration. I spent a lot of time on that. I'm going to go through the other two really quickly. There's completion. You're made, do you know this, that you're made complete in Christ? On earth, this is sort of a marriage thing. And so that's why he says that. I believe he says that when he says in verse 2, "And I saw the holy city from Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." You remember back in the garden, I mean, he did want to bring this helpmeet along that would complete him. And so he would meet the needs. Not, she's not under him or not over him, but walking side by side. That's the picture, to help meet the needs of the day. And today, that since we're broken and we're in sin, we have this one that is supposed to be our helpmeet that completes us. And marriage is really a picture of Christ and the church, as we see there in verse 2, that it's this bride. And when you think about a bride on her wedding day, here's the truth of the matter. I've never seen an ugly bride. I mean, just be honest. Think about it. That day, I mean, because good gravy, how much money do you women spend on yourself that day? Lauren was in a wedding, man, and the wedding was at 2 in the afternoon, and it was 6 a.m., and Lauren's rolling. I'm like, "Where are you going?" She's like, "I got to go get ready." For 8 hours? I mean, what in the world are you going to put on? I mean, a dude, if the wedding's at 2, the dude could roll up at 1:35, baby, and be ready to go at 1:45. You know what I'm saying? Give me a comb, put on my suit. Let's roll. I mean, y'all ever thought about that, though? I mean, ladies, y'all spend thousands upon dollars on dresses and makeup and hair did and nails and toenails and all this stuff. And the dude rents his suit. I mean, I'm being honest, y'all. And I talk, those that I've married, y'all can back me up on this. When I've done marriage counseling, I mean, y'all women, y'all want everything. But you got just the right music and just the right spacing and oh, my hair. And the dude's like, "Honey, long as you say I do, I don't care. I'm going to walk out with the preacher. I'll stand right there. I'll stand like this. I don't care. Oh, did she say I do? Are we now married? Good win. Let's go." But everyone is a picture of Jesus in the church. But think about that bride that day. They do everything to be good and be beautiful. When you see a bride, here's what I think. Right from this text, be pure and spotless and without blemish. It's what you ought to see that day, what really comes to mind when you watch that beautiful bride, when they open the doors. Well, let me say this about the dudes. They try to play it tough. I barely have ever seen a guy that's standing beside me. When they break open them doors and he sees his bride, most dudes almost pass out. I mean, seriously, they just get to, they either start crying or they pass out. And I'm like, most guys, if y'all ever see me, I'm up there going, "Dude, you all right? Bro, you good? You going down? Do I need to hold your arm?" But was that not what you want to see that day? A guy that loves his bride that much. So I thought about Ephesians. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is really what tells us that it's really a picture of the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting there at verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having, cleansed her by the washing of water with the word so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." That's what John said the New Jerusalem is like coming down, like a bride that day. And here's why we'll be looking at it. Have you ever gone, you want a great Bible study to start the new year off with? Go home and do this day. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, really quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 right there. I'm just going to tell you what to do because it tells you why you're so beautiful and what you have in him. You want to know who you are in Jesus? Take the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, which is basically an introductory prayer, and look at all the times he says, the writer, Paul, speaking by the influence of the Holy Spirit, says, "in him." Just go do that today, and you're going to be surprised at what you are in Christ. You'll hear words like forgiven, chosen, loved, adopted. That's why you're so beautiful in Him. That's why you're complete in Him. Flip over to 1 John chapter 3 now. And this is why, when you get all that, and here's what's going to happen when you see Him. I don't know how this works. People always want to know, well, how does it work? I have no clue. But here's what I know in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, you ought to underline this, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself and is pure. There is something about that moment when we see Him, it's as if He just becomes us and we become just like Jesus. Now, we're not Jesus because we're not God, but we become like Him. We sing that song, He is wonderful. There's a part of it, not the song we sang there, but the praise song, and isn't He wonderful? What does the other one say? Isn't He beautiful? The most beautiful God ever. Because there's no other one. Let me give you the last word. Perfection. So we had restoration, completion, and then perfection. And I'm just going to give you a couple of statements and then I'm done. If you look back here, I could take you, this goes through chapter 22. You know what's going to be perfect there? There's going to be a perfect city. It described it there in chapter 21, starting at verse 9 through basically the end of the chapter. There's a perfect city. Then in down there in verse 22, there's a perfect temple because it's God. Then there's a perfect garden. In chapter 22 that it talks about that. You want to know why? Because there's the perfect one there. And His name is God. Can I ask you this question? Why is there no more? Because sin, the enemy, has been vanquished. And Christ rules and reigns. So there's no place. Because remember what I said? All the wrath is gone. If you go back to chapter 20, and matter of fact, right just before it, He just deals with everything. He cast out all of that. And there's no more. Here's the truth about it. It is open for everyone. Heaven's not closed, as I read my Bible, for anybody. Except those that die without Jesus. But see, you're still living. I don't know who's here today and doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but I know this. December 31st, 2023 is a great day to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Preacher, I don't know how. I just told you how. Just say yes. All you gotta do is walk to me. And I'll talk with you through. I'm not going to embarrass you when you get here, but we'll talk. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Do you understand that you're not perfect, that you're a sinner, and that Jesus died for you and He lived a perfect and sinless life and rose again on the third day, defeating death? Do you get all that? Because as I read my Bible, that's what it takes. Admit, believe, and confess. We try to make it a lot harder. Oh, there's a lot more to the life, but to the moment of salvation, that's pretty much it. He did all the work. We get grace. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I wonder if there is not one here that today would say, preacher, when the day of no more comes, if I were today right now, I wouldn't be there for that day.
Thanks for listening to the Marian Message presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. If you would like to know more, you can reach us on our Facebook page or on our website, www.marianbcva.com.